Who knows more about Munster rugby, me or you, Quinny?
Everyone has an opinion, don't they? Some of the opinions are waffle, but I'd like to think I know a lot.
The Red 78 with Alan Quinlan and Niamh Briggs. Subscribe to the Rugby Channel on the OTB Sports app and turn on your notifications now.
Time for us to turn our attention to Cristiano Ronaldo. Andy Mitten, good morning to you. How are you?
I'm fine. Not quite as enthusiastic as your introduction there, but I'll settle for that.
We were talking about this earlier on, right? Being a Manchester United fan right now is what it means to be alive as a sports fan. We kind of characterised it as like this might not be a long term relationship, but it sure as hell is an exciting fling.
It is, and I was thinking at half time last night, knowing that I was going to speak to you. Oh no. Well, you've got to do it. You've got to take the highs and the lows. And United scored the three goals in the second half. I thought, okay, I'm ready to talk to yourselves in the morning. And here we are. And it was unpredictable. It was worrying at times last night. I think a lot of people have forgotten that Atalanta are a very competent side. Their goalkeeper played very well. United didn't play that badly in the first half at all. And yet went in 2-0 down. There were a few boos around Old Trafford. And Ole Gunnar Solskjaer walked right in front of me. And he sort of gestured his arms to say, I need more support, which was quite a brave thing to do because his side were 2-0 down. And after the game, I asked him, I said, did you panic? He went, no, not at all. But we can't pretend that everything's rosy in the garden of Manchester United at the moment. But people walked out of Old Trafford last night smiling, buzzing. It was a full stadium. The Atalanta fans played their part as well. It was nice seeing them outside the ground, really friendly, mixing. And there was a real sense of occasion. And then I look online and I just see this absolute torrent of touching on hatred and some people calling themselves Manchester United fans who wanting the team to lose because you want the manager to get sacked. And I just thought, okay, you're entitled to your opinion. But the experience at the stadium was completely different. And I've got to say, the fans in the Stretford end were fantastic last night. And some of them were even getting a little bit mocked for singing the name of the manager before, during and after the game. But I know it made a difference and I know that the manager absolutely appreciated it.
Yeah, supporters are supposed to support. That's the whole point. It's in the name.
Yeah, and they did support. And they had some new flags in there. There was a bit of a hoo-ha whether they get in the ground, but that was sorted out. And they had these huge new flags. And I just don't think we should take that for granted because when Manchester United were brilliant for so long in the 90s and noughties, the atmosphere actually slid at Old Trafford. And no one really paid that much attention to it because the team was winning all the time. But it was a huge concern for people who read United We Stand, for example. And the club just turned a blind eye to it. And they got away with it because the team was winning all the time. But what you're seeing now is a real resurgent atmosphere. You've got thousands of young people going to the game together. They're standing with the mates. You're getting standing back at Old Trafford as well at the opposite end of the ground. You've got really good initiatives on ticket prices, taking into account that most 16-year-olds are not in full-time education like maybe they were in full-time employment, maybe they were 30, 40 years ago. And those ingredients all help. Of course, results set the mood. They always set the mood. And when Manchester United are not winning, and they haven't been winning, and it's not been good, the results have not been good, the performances have not been good, that affects everything as well. So it was pretty bold for the fans to turn up early last night, be absolutely unstinting in their support. And I spoke to Ollie about them after the game, and he started name-checking them, and it felt like there's a good community there. Even though Manchester United are this massive global club, there's a feeling of togetherness last night. And it's easy to say that the morning after a 3-2 victory. Had Manchester United not won or lost, the mood would become completely different. So we're seeing these swings all the time, which ultimately isn't good enough if we're looking at the bigger picture. But last night, it was a great European night at Old Trafford. It was so exciting. And it was a joy to be there.
Look, that's the thing, right? If you want to look at the big picture all the time, then you're an economist. And they don't call economics the dismal science for nothing. But if you want to be a football supporter, sometimes your team's going to lose, sometimes they're going to win. And obviously you want to win all the time, but that's not actually realistic, despite the way you guys did win all the time for such a long period of time. This is a much more realistic fan experience. And Manchester United fans are going through it at the moment.
For fans of most clubs around the world, not just in football, but in other sports, you don't win all the time. That's not a reality. teams have to lose matches, whether it's in football or basketball or whatever. And it definitely feels real. The problem you have at the super clubs is that at some point they've been that successful that they've attracted fans who only know winning. So I also see it at Barcelona, I see it a little bit at Real Madrid. They think that's the norm. They think that's how it always should be. But there's not one club in the history of world football who've won game after game, year after year, trophy after trophy. And if they did, that'd be a bit boring. I can see that Bayern Munich are brilliant. I don't like the Bundesliga's dominance. I don't think that's a good thing. It drives me mad because I've never hid my allegiance when Aston Villa comes to Old Trafford and win. But isn't it also fantastic that Aston Villa can come to Old Trafford and win, that you've got that level of competition and you've got to take the highs with the lows. Of course, expectations are higher at the bigger clubs. Of course they are. You look at the players Manchester United have got now. It hasn't been good enough. No way at all. But you go on this ride where you don't know what's coming next. And I quite like that. You know, when United were winning all the time, right? I can remember proper hardcore fans being bored by the brilliance. Really. I can remember fans, and have been really revisionist about it now, just being bored with the predictability. I saw it at Barcelona as well. Bored by the brilliance. What an incredible, entitled position to be in. But at 2-0 last night, nobody was bored there. People had really strong emotions, and sport can draw that out of you.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic that it does do that. And I'm thinking they're not actually played that badly, but this is dreadful once again. What on earth's going on? And then bang, 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 and everything changes again. And it was a really exciting night.
Yeah, I think we all watch sport and love sport because it makes us feel alive. And if you're a Man United fan, you felt pretty alive at the end of that last night.
Yeah, and those fans that stayed inside the stadium once again, they were singing for the manager. They were enjoying the occasion. And why shouldn't they enjoy the occasion? And if you're an Atalanta fan, you probably didn't even expect your team to be playing Champions League football 5 years ago. Now you become regulars because you've got a good manager, they've got a good football system, but it's a pretty small city. This is a city which is smaller than Cork, and they're doing really well. And they've got good players, and they were missing good players, and their goalkeeper was fantastic. And I love seeing these different styles of football from teams coming to Old Trafford. Not always nice to watch, but if you're trying to be neutral, when Villarreal came and completely dominated the first half at Old Trafford a few weeks ago, I find it fascinating. And I'm like looking at the players going, ah, that's him. Ah, I knew I'd seen him before. Ah, that's a guy who played for Denmark. And I enjoy it because I love watching football. But live football, when you're there and you're close to the pitch and you've got the sounds and the smells as well, because walking up to the stadium last night, I was speaking to loads of different supporters, people having the pie and the chips, and a policeman came over to buy a fanzine, and Charlie was selling his flags. And it's real life. And we didn't have that 6 months ago because of COVID. And I don't take that for granted at all. And of course, I can put a more optimistic shine on it now the morning after, because Manchester United have won. And the group stage is looking far better than it was when we spoke in Switzerland a couple of weeks ago. But that's football. Let's enjoy it.
Two quick things I want to ask you about. One is the team selection last night reflected a little bit, it struck me, of what Solskjaer said in the aftermath of the game at the weekend, where he said we need to go back and look at the entire balance of the team. And he tried to fix it last night. And there was that question about whether or not he would be happy to leave out some of the big names. And so he did. And it obviously wasn't perfect in the first half. But maybe if they defended better from the corner, and if Rashford scores, it's 1-1 at halftime. And that's the way that the game goes. The decision to begin thinking about dropping Pogba and reshaping the team, that shows that they are having the same conversations that everybody else is having about the balance of the team. Was it important? Was it symbolic? Was it the right thing to do? What was your take on that?
There's a couple of things. I thought Pogba did well when he came on. I spoke to him after the game and he was all smiles. He's quite good like that. You know, he doesn't give much away. I think Ollie goes for Fred and McTominay as his insurance policy. He knows they're not the best midfielders in the world, but he trusts them. And if you're going to have all these stellar attackers with loose roles, if you like, then you've got to have a shield behind them. The defence, as you rightly pointed out, were culpable in the first half. Manchester United still conceding too many goals, still going behind, still conceding at set pieces, which is a worry. And that led to Atalanta going 2-0 ahead. But it was a ding-dong. It was like end-to-end stuff. It was really, really exciting to watch. I think he's going to have to drop big names on a weekly basis, whether that's Ronaldo or Pogba or Cavani. Cavani's a huge name. You know, he was the best player towards the end of last season, and he's not been starting. And he come on and he played a role in one of the goals as well. So it's a nice choice for the manager to have. But I still don't think we've seen the sum of Manchester United's parts. They've been pretty underwhelming in most games this season. But he called it right last night. Had you interviewed me at half time, I might have had a slightly different opinion.
That's fair enough. And look, I think, but if Fred missed, well, it's not quite a sitter because he's Fred and he doesn't score loads of goals. But if he scores, Rashford, you would expect to score the chance just before half time. If they both go in, it's 2-2 and they win this game 4-5-2. And it's like, wow, what an amazing performance that was. And you kind of get over the defensive issues. So I think that we can be prisoners of the now and just react to that. The other thing that I wanted to ask you about was, I think it was you tweeted during the week about how the Athletic piece had kind of riled up the backroom staff who are annoyed about the perception that there is no Manchester United style, there is no discernible pattern to play, they're not as easily identifiable as the Klopp team or the Tuchel team. Why has this annoyed the people around that coaching ticket and that backroom staff so much?
Because they don't think it's true, and they see what they see as false narratives developing, and they totally understand that fans are entitled to be critical, that fans are passionate, that fans are emotional. They totally get that. A lot of them are football fans themselves. A lot of them are Manchester United fans. And it frustrates them because they can't speak out and they see things becoming cliched and stereotypes. And they're just like, this is just not true. So one line which I wrote, which was picked up on, and sometimes people pick up a tiny bit of a big article, and that can frustrate me as a journalist because that doesn't give a full context, but that was that the coaches are grafting their backsides off, often at a cost to their other life, their family life, their social lives. Nobody wants any sympathy for that, but that's picked up on. And people would actually say to me, they're always anonymous, these people, you've been paid to say that. That's the club's PR in operation. And it's just not. That's me as a journalist with contacts I've built up over 30 years with people trusting me to talk to me and giving their version of events amid other events and versions counter to that, because clearly the football's not been good enough and conceding 4 goals at Leicester City is not good enough. And that my job as a journalist is to tell the truth. And sometimes in football, there's more than one version of the truth. But you get fans who are very entrenched and unable to accept counter opinions, and that's really dangerous. And that's what you get when the team are losing. So even just last night, I put a picture out of the Stretford End singing. You know, this is the Stretford End; they're singing "Ollie's at the Wheel." This is happening now. This is factually correct and legitimate for me to report on as a journalist. And half an hour later, it's like, yeah, they're being paid to say this. They're not singing now, are they? I'm thinking they are singing now. But do I then engage with someone who's anonymous? You just don't do that. It's results dependent.
I get that. I think that it struck me though that one of the things that had upset the backroom team was because there's an element of perception as reality, as Keane and Neville have said, and the perception is that the team doesn't have yet the style articulated the same way that their rivals do. I think that's probably a fair comment. If the backroom staff believe otherwise, it'd be great for them to actually do a series of interviews and explain what they're trying to do, as European coaches do all the time, as Brendan Rodgers was all too happy to do at the weekend. It would be good for them to come out and say that, I think.
Yeah, but what United try and do and what other clubs do is the manager is the forefront. The manager is the one who speaks. And I speak to loads of people at the club and nobody's coming to me, alarm bells ringing, saying, Andy, you want to dig around this coach here? So let's say Kieran McKenna, because I've seen him criticised. I spoke to people on and off the record and they basically say he's a very, very good coach. But when the team's not winning, there's scrutiny, and there always has been. It can be quite dangerous because fans are not watching training And I'm not seeing this harmony from the from what people are telling me. Clearly, when players get dropped, they're not happy. That's the same in any football club. But I learned a lesson 20 years ago when we printed that Jim Ryan, Alex Ferguson's assistant, wasn't the man, because that's what fans were saying in the pubs. And one of Jim's best mates came up to me in La Coruña in a pub. He said, "What's your evidence for saying that?" And there wasn't any. And now I do get evidence. And people can be very misguided if they start picking out what they think might be happening. It's better to deal with the facts of what's actually happening. And clearly when the team's not winning, there's going to be more scrutiny. I can't see a time where you're going to get the coaches coming out and doing a lot of interviews. They think it should be the figurehead. It should be the manager. But behind the scenes, there is a massive team of people there who are very, very good. They've not ended up at Manchester United by fluke. They've ended up there because they're very good at the job. I'm talking about analysts, sports scientists. And 2 weeks ago, United announced that they're bringing in a data analyst in a senior position. And I put that out. And the reaction was like, about time, it's 2021. I'm sorry, Manchester United have had one of these departments for 20 years. On that very same day, there was a conference going on in Liverpool where people from Liverpool Football Club were saying, Man United started this. But again, it's this backdrop of a narrative of everything's doom and falling apart. I'm sorry, the truth is often very different to that.